Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, "One may be overpowered by another. Two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." When we look at this, we would think that this means strength. And in a way it does. If you're in a fight, you'd much rather have three people than you would have one, right? And if it's going to be three against one, you want to be on the three side than the one side, right? I mean, so when you read this, it's easy for us to see, the physical aspect of it here. But imagine, if you will, trying to dig up a stump. Anybody ever tried to dig up a stump? It's not an easy thing to do. It's hard to do, right? And so when you're digging up a stump and you're chipping away at it and you're pushing at it and pushing at it and you get tired, if you take a break, nothing happens while you take that break. But yet, if there's two of you, then one takes over and says, "I'll do it for a little while." And they start beating away at it and you catch your breath, and then they get tired, and then there's a third one. And that third one has the water and everything. He says, "You guys take a break, I'll take this for a little while." And man, the work that gets done on that stump, or moving that obstacle, or moving that rock out of the way, it really moves. It really gets going. So we can understand what God is saying here, that three, and the analogy here is the triune God. You know, if you have Father God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, what's going to come against that? But we're triune people, body, soul, and spirit. And he says that he's with us. But I want us to see something else about this. He says that it's not quickly broken. Three can be beat down. Three can be beat down by six. Three can be beat down by two really big. But it's not easily broken. Okay? It's not easily broken. I think in a minute here we'll see what I'm trying to get us to look at. We say in church that we have the same mindset. And typically when we say that, we're talking about the doctrine. We're meaning one Lord, one faith, one immersion. We don't come in here and teach another Savior. We shouldn't come in here and try to teach another gospel. Although there's buildings full of people today that teach this morning that are teaching a different gospel. And there's people that are teaching a different immersion. So when we have one mindset, meaning one Lord, one faith, one immersion, we can see that when he's talking with us, he said that a threefold cord is not easily broken. He's talking about the mindset of the people. See, if we all are here and we're in the same mindset in the congregation, in the church, that's not easily for somebody to come in and sway us. That's not easily for somebody to come in and lead us away, is it? We're all in the same mindset. But I want to bring it down a little bit closer. Do we have the same mindset about each other as we have about ourselves? I see that really changes this perspective, right? Do you think about others the way that you think about yourself? Maybe, maybe not. There's times when you do, and there's times when you don't. There's times when it's easy to be in the same mindset. And then there's times when it's not easy to be in the same mindset. The church is torn down when we start to divide over the purpose of why we're here. God's teaching can show us our error. God's teaching can show us the truth. We're here to listen. I mean, I don't think y'all were blocking me out. I think y'all were listening. And so the same word's being taught, and we're all listening to the same word. But when we have a different mindset of why that we're here, then that's when the church is vulnerable. It's very vulnerable, if that's even a word. We're listening for the teaching. We're like, "Hey, that don't sound right." But are we thinking that we walk in this building about how we see each other versus how we see ourselves? I'll show you. What would happen if we came to worship with the mindset that they have in a AA meeting? The best I know, I hadn't changed. AA means Alcoholic Anonymous, right? And then there's others, NA and different things. But what if we had the same mindset that they did? And you know what that mindset is? Well, yeah, I mean, what I don't agree in, but the mindset that when they have, when they're sitting there, is that they're all alcoholics. Right? They're all in the same boat. And to my knowledge, these people don't look at one another and think, look at that dude. I don't even know why he's in here. He's all tore up. He's messed up. What is he doing? No. You know what they think? They look at that person and they think, what strength it took to come here today. What strength it took for you to open up and say something that you want to hide, that you've hid from the world forever. And they do judge that being an alcoholic is wrong. They do judge that. Because they teach you to overcome it. They teach you that it's destructive, and they get you to move away from it and stay away from it. So they judge that this is wrong. They don't judge the person. Because every person sitting there understands what it means to be an alcoholic. And they know how hard it was for you to sit here today, and when they say, we have somebody new today, would you like to say something? And they know how hard it is for you to say, hi, my name is Calvin, and I'm an alcoholic. They know how hard that was for you. Hi, my name's Calvin, and I'm a sinner. You see what I'm trying to get at? The mindset of these people is that they would see this and they would understand what you're going through. Is that how we do it in the church? That we look at other people and we understand what they're going through? Or do we look at other people and think, good Lord, what are they doing here? What is going on in their life? I'll show you how we think in the church. Luke 5:27-30. Jesus said, follow me. So he left all and rose up and followed him. Excuse me. Then Levi, Matthew, gave him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And the reason they threw tax collectors in there is because the tax collectors would take more than what they were supposed to. And as long as the governor would say, look, I want a dollar from everybody that you collect. You collect more than that, you have it. But I want a dollar, right? Just to give you an example. And that's why tax collectors were looked at as such terrible sinners, because they didn't care about the people. They took what they could. They took what they wanted. But anyway, he told Matthew, he said, follow me. And so Matthew invited him over to a great feast at his house. And there was a great number of tax collectors and sinners who were with them. Verse 30 says, the scribes and the Pharisees, they complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Do you think that the people that are sitting in the AA meeting and they say, what am I doing around all these alcoholics? You know why you're doing around all those alcoholics? Because they know what it means to be an alcoholic. And they know what it means for you to be able to share the things that you're getting ready to share with them. But the scribes and the Pharisees looked down at these people. They looked down at them that, why would you eat with them sinners? The mindset of the righteous, right? Why would you eat with the sinners? Why would you associate with them type of people out there? You have them kind of friends over at your house? Gosh, why would you do this? Which one of these sinners thought that they were better than the other? When Jesus came and ate with the tax collectors and the sinners, and he says, I want to tell you a story. Which one of the sinners do you think, hey, Hey, he wants to tell a story. Y'all need to hear this. Come on in here. You need to hear this. Go ahead, teacher. Standing up there right next to him. Go ahead, tell him. Which one of those sinners do you think thought that they were better than the others? Probably not nary one. They knew what they were doing. They knew that they were on the same page. And God come in and he wanted to talk to them, and they all listened. But then the righteous people of that day, guess what they did? Why do you bother with those sinners? You see, that mindset is not the mindset that the church should have. And I'm not saying that you have that mindset, but what is the church known for? One of the things that the church is known for is being a judgmental people. And I'm here to tell you, AA judges that alcoholism is wrong and it's destructive and it will tear your life up, and that's why that they teach you how to come out of that, how to stay away from that. They do judge, but they don't judge the person. They help the person. That's the mindset that we should have when we have in the church. Do you know what would happen if one of those people said, hey, you know, they said, hey, Calvin came back, and Calvin gets up and he says, hi, my name's Calvin and I'm an alcoholic. I had a drink last night. And they said, way to go, Calvin. Way to go. Way to go. We don't need you here. Get on out of here. You're going to ruin it for the rest of us. No, do you know what those people would probably do? They'd probably stand up and they'd probably put their arms around him. And they'd probably say, it's okay. You did something. A million people who had a drink last night that didn't do. You came back here and you said, I still need help. They put their arms around him and they say, we're here to help. I'm here to help you. You took a drink because you're an alcoholic. So you know what? Today's day one. We're going to start from here. And if you need help, everybody brought out their numbers. Is that what the church is known for? What the church should be known for. You know why those people can't see that they're sinners? Those scribes and Pharisees couldn't see that they were sinners. Well, I just gave the answer. What I meant to say is, you know why those scribes and Pharisees looked down at those other people and called them sinners? It's because they didn't realize they were sinners. People who come to those meetings, they can see each other for who they are. We're fallen. And we are in need of a Redeemer. Right? That should be the mindset of the church. I know why you're here. I don't know what you did to get here, but I know why you're here. Because you need a Savior. And of all the people that need a Savior, so do I. Welcome. People who attend meetings like this have set aside any shame they may feel so that they can be honest with one another. You can see me who for I really am. They set aside the shame. You don't know where my mind goes to provide myself with comfort. You don't know. And I don't know where yours goes. But I can promise you this. It goes away from God sometimes. And that's why we're here. Every one of us are here because we wanted something in our life that God disobeyed, that disobeyed God, that was against God. And in that common purpose, the church should have that mindset. At some point, we may fall again. And if we do, I'm here. You're here. Let's put our arms around each other. Let's pray that it doesn't happen again. Let's pray that you have a repentant heart. Let's pray that this was not something that would lead you away. You know, because when these people come to, like we've been talking about the AA meetings, and they come and they're sober for, I don't know what the, you know, they give them the little pins, and it's important. It's important when they get those. They say, look, I've been sober for 30 days. I'm here to tell you that when somebody can't stay away from alcohol and they have for 30 days, that's a big deal. And so, but when they fall, if they fall, sometimes we all do to the things that tempt us, if they fall, sometimes they're led away. They don't come back, right? They're led away and they don't come back. And so when somebody comes and says, I'm struggling, I've done the wrong thing, don't be so judgmental as a church to judge that what they've done is so terrible and want to kick them out. Love them. Put your arms around them and say, I'm glad that you're here. The church is not known for this, is it? We can look in the days of Jesus when the people that considered themselves righteous, and we got to realize that that's a warning for the church, because there's a lot of people there that know a lot of things and they think that they are somebody. My heavens, there's people that go around in buses that have entourages. You know what says on the side of the bus? The Apostle so-and-so. If they're not waving their flag, I don't know who's not. Shame on them. Matthew 23:6-7. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, they love to be called rabbi. They love to be called preacher. They love to be called the apostle. Calvin Stump is in the house. They love these things. You know, it's odd in a congregation, we try to be something that we're not. And a lot of times we try to see who's better. That's what happens when you elevate people and you elevate places and you elevate. God set the order of things, but man elevated these things. And it's odd in a congregation that as we come in, we sort of line up in some sort of rank. Right? That this person's better than this person. I would imagine that if... someone of authority came in, that we would give them the best seat in the house, right? Say the police commissioner or something, and it was like, well, good, huh? You know, it's really great to see you here, you know, and why don't you sit up here, you know, where you can see, you're not obstructed, nobody bothers you, why don't you, you know, this is what people do. In those meetings, that's not what they do. They're all on level ground. They're all on the same ground. They're all there for the same reason. God set the order, but man elevated the position and the person. James 1:14 says, each one is tempted and drawn away by his own desire and enticed. We're all here because we want something that God was against. Each person is tempted and drawn away. We may not understand what drew you away, but we can certainly understand you being drawn away. We're all here for the same reason. We need a Savior. We need to be forgiven. We want to be back in a right relationship with God. We want to see His face. We're tired of being alienated from God. We're tired of being separated from God. And the things of this world that used to bring us peace don't anymore. And we want forgiveness. We want to feel His presence. We want to see His face. That's why we're here. All of us. Ephesians 4:25-27 says, putting away lying, let each one of you speak your truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. When we disobey God for whatever reason, when we go to that place that we just want to be accepted by others and we just want to be comforted and we don't want to hear someone yakking in our head all the time telling us something to do, and we don't want to have to work all the time, and we don't want to feel so tired, and we don't want to feel just so wore out and so useless. We want to be, for a moment, we want to be the life of the party. For the moment, we just want to be the man. For the moment, we want to be the person that everybody acknowledges, that sees and adores. Just for a moment. We just want to be lifted up from where we're at. And that's what gives place to the devil. Because I'm sorry, if I lift myself up from where you're at, I elevate myself above you. And you think, well, gosh, that's kind of a bleak thing for the church. The church doesn't elevate people. Do you know what the church does? The church elevates the whole body. That's what God says. That when one is lifted, we're all lifted. We come in to edify the body. We come in to raise the body, to lift up the body before the Lord, not ourselves. And when we do that for ourselves, that's when the Bible says that we give place to the devil. We've got to be careful. Because I don't know of anybody that doesn't want to feel like they're somebody at some point in their life. And there's struggles that we go through that people don't know anything about. And you, they come over and they laugh and they're glad to see you and stuff. And you just want to say, don't you know how unhappy I've been? Don't you know how much pain I've been in? You come over here and you laugh. Don't you know how hurt I've been? How strong all of this has been for me to even get out of bed? But when you come to these meetings, every person sitting there knows what it took for you to come there today and to say, hi, my name is Calvin, and I'm a sinner. They know how hard that is. And they look at you, and they don't judge you. They try to help you. Because what has overtaken you, if you'd let it, it would crush you. And they know that the only way that you're going to be able to survive this is with the help of others. Right? Now that's where I have to leave the teaching. The higher power that helps them is not whatever they choose. The higher power that helps this world come out of its sin, to stay away from those things that entangle us in this world, is Jesus Christ, and there is none other. But the mindset that people have when they gather together, they don't let the shame keep them quiet. Just like we elevate the whole group, our actions affect the whole group as a congregation. You don't think that if I ran around on my wife and somebody found out about that wouldn't affect this congregation? You're darn right it would. Why would you listen to anything that I had to say? You could if you were willing to understand and forgive me. That's a tough pill for anybody to swallow. Hi, my name's Calvin and I'm a covenant breaker. What I'm saying is that our actions affect the whole group. And if that were true, it would certainly affect this congregation, wouldn't it? You know what that should make you do? As well as me? That should make you think about how you act, because it's not just your salvation that's on the line. Paul said that if me drinking wine or eating meat causes my brother to stumble, he said, I'll never do it again. My wife cooked bacon. Melissa cooked bacon the other day, and Saturday, I guess it was Saturday morning, Friday morning, I don't know. And sometimes in the air fryer, it gets a little crispier on the edges. And that doesn't bother me. You know, she hates it, but I'll eat that. And she's like, well, you don't have to eat all the burnt pieces. She said, just eat the other and throw the rest away. I said, well, hold up. We don't throw bacon away. God doesn't throw people away. You understand? Our actions affect the whole group. Paul said that I wouldn't eat meat. And so that'd be pretty tough for me because bacon is meat. But what he's saying is that when I'm out and I'm doing and I'm living, he says, you are constantly in my thoughts about how I act will affect you, how it will affect the reputation of the church, and how it will affect God. Because if there's one thing that people see, is that if the people are judgmental, their God is judgmental. And they don't like to be judged. They don't want to be judged. Let me tell you something. You walk through this door, the man will not be judged. But God will judge where you're at. And we wouldn't want it any other way. But man, that's a realization to come to that you can't continue to live the way that you did before you walked through this door. There has to be a change. Otherwise, why are you here? We need a Savior. We need to change what we're doing. And if we don't need a Savior and we don't need to change what we're doing, what are you here for? You see, that's the mindset. We understand why we're all here. Can't believe I left that up. Anyway, Galatians 6:25. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. Boy, that doesn't seem to make sense, does it? Bear one another's burdens, for each one shall stand alone and bear his own burden. That's God talking about. He wants you to bear each other's burdens, but then when it comes down to it, you're going to stand there by yourself? One day, yes. You see, we understand the shame, the disobedience to a forgiving God. So when we all come together, we should encourage and strengthen each other, because in the end, when we all stand alone with our choices, we'll understand how much that encouragement meant. Do you see, we bear one another's burdens right now because we can, because we should try to help one another, and because that's why the church is here. We can't do it alone. That's why He sent His Holy Spirit. That's why He sent the congregation. That's why we're called the body of Christ. We can't do this alone. We understand the shame. And when we come together, it should be to encourage and strengthen. That's how we bear one another's burdens. But there will come a day when we will stand alone in the choices. And of course, this points towards Judgment Day. But you know what? Before Judgment Day, you'll walk out of this building, and where you're committed and where your mindset is and the encouragement that we tried to give you, you'll walk out of this building and then you'll be alone. Meaning that we won't be there together. And then you'll see when you're tempted how much that encouragement really meant. Right? You'll understand how much it meant to have somebody in your corner to say, man, I'm so glad that you came back today. I am so glad that you're here. Because I'm not looking at whether if you did a great week or had a bad week. All I care about is that you're here and you're trying to worship God. You're trying to serve God in the same way that I am. I'm so encouraged by your faith. I'm so encouraged by your face. And then when we go out there, guess what? When someone says, come on, let's go do this and this. And you're like, I've got people that need me. I've got people I've got to be there for. I don't want to be messed up in this. What are you kidding, man? Acting like a girl. You're being all soft. You're just being weak. Come on, let's go. Then you get a few friends together and they're like, come on, man. You're like, ah, yeah, it'll be all right. But see, when you remember the body and you remember that threefold cord, if you let down here, why would somebody be there for you? They could let you down. Is that what you want in your time of need? That's not what you want. You see, you start thinking outside of self and you start thinking about the body. Matthew 7:24-25, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and when the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. That threefold cord is based on Jesus holding the other end. We are founded on a great promise that the world does not involve themselves in, that the world is not entitled to, because they reject what we stand for here. And that is each other. We don't judge the person, but we're not, out of love's sake, going to leave them where they're at. Times are coming when we'll not be in each other's company. And those temptations that we talked about, that we all share, will seek to entice and destroy us. Only then will you know what that encouragement accomplished and how much it is needed. See, sitting here right now, you understand the idea of us all being together and us having the same mindset. That we want to see our God's face. We're tired of being separated from our God. I want to see His face, and I want to see it with you. You understand that? That's the mindset that the church should have. We want to see these people get better. And so when they come in and they're strong, and the weakest of weak walks in and says, is this where sinners meet? And you say, it sure is. Come on in. What can we do for you, brother? What can we do for you, sister? We start right there. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Not because of that love would we encourage you to stay in your sin. Would we? Because we say we love you, because we say we care, would you expect us to encourage you to stay in the sin? The reason that you came into this building today, the reason that you came into this meeting was to confess that you had a problem. That's why you're here. That's your confession, is you're here. And we say, oh, it's okay. That problem's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. You just continue where you're at. No other meeting, like the AA that we've talked about a little bit, would encourage us to stay burdened by that temptation that we all know and understand, would it? That's not what they do at these meetings. They don't encourage you to say, okay, well, we're all alcoholics here, so the beer of the day is, or the alcohol of the day or whatever, and they pass around a drink, and then everybody sits there and they start talking. And I'm not coming down on people who drink alcohol. That's not the point here. The point was the mindset behind people that gathered together for the same purpose, okay? Their mindset was, hey, wait a minute, we can't do that. That's only going to hurt us. And in no meeting that we would go to would anybody encourage you to stay in the position and the place that you were when you walked into that building to confess, I have a problem. Nobody would say, you know what? Hi, this is the local NA meeting. We're not here to get you to stop taking narcotics. Matter of fact, we have doctors that will give you names, that they'll issue prescriptions. We're just meeting together here because we just like everybody. We just love everybody, and so that's why we're meeting here today. Nobody does that. No meeting does that. Why would you expect the church, because of love, to do that? Why would you expect the church to out of love for one another? And these people do love one another. These people cling to one another. They call them on the phones. in a bar and they're crying and they're like, I'm about to give in. I don't know what to do. I just want. And they're like, tell me where you're at. I'll be right there. You understand? And people are out of love. They do love one another. But for the sake of love for the people, for the church to say, we love people, nobody would encourage you to stay in your sin. We don't judge the people. We judge the sin. And it's not even us that judge the sins. We don't have a list of what bothers us. God tells you what is wrong. We're here as repentant sinners, forgiven people. That's all we are. You want to see my life against somebody else's? It's no different. The difference is that I'm forgiven. And through that forgiveness, I see a bigger picture than just satisfying myself. And that's probably the only place that I'll ever be able to come to, is that there's more to life than just my feelings and what I want. And so when I look at that bigger picture, I don't even know how to begin to sort that out. But some of you do. That's why we meet together. That's why we meet together, to help one another continue day by day to carry your cross. Isn't that what Jesus said? Why would you expect the church, because of love, to turn its back on the reason that you came here this morning? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. God says that's His promise, not man's, but His. And you'll have a multitude of people that have crosses on the roof and a Bible open, and they'll tell you that God didn't mean that. And you know what they're saying? Hey, it's okay. Stay in the world. Just come here because we love you. And we're not going to make you feel bad about what you're doing. We're not going to try to get you to overcome your temptations or your sin. We're not going to try any of that. We're just glad that you're here and we love people. And you just keep doing what you're doing. Oh, by the way, we're going to pass around an offering plate. And if you could, just throw a few dollars in there so that we can stay in business, right? Keep your money. Bring your soul. You're willing to do that, to put your heart on the line for each other. And then you'll see how important money is to the salvation of this little group that we call the church. We don't shy away. We say the gospel because we want people to come out of their sins. We want them to be forgiven because we love people. Jesus didn't die for a building. He didn't die for a chair. He died for people. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?